Dybala! He is something else. Di Lorenzo, and still Di Lorenzo! The captain brings the house down. Partenopea champions once again, but the 33-year wait will now officially come to an end.
Ciao ragazzi, and welcome to another edition of Serie A Sit Down, World Football Index's podcast for your calcio to go. I'm Frank Ravello. He's Richard Carmen. Ciao, Richard.
Ciao, Frank, and welcome back. Bentornato. How you doing, man?
I'm good. I'm not sure how refreshed I am, but I'm good. I'm glad to be back. We had a vacation with the family last week, and glad that you and Sean were able to hold it down last week. Good stuff. Vincent and Anthony are with us. If you're joining us, check in via the chat. Tell us what you're drinking. I'm just going with a little simple San Pellegrino tonight.
Right on.
Yep, keeping it clean, getting myself trying to get the eating back under control. You know, you just go on vacation, you eat like crap, you drink, and you know, all that other stuff, and so just trying to get it all back together. So
we always go on vacation to kind of rest and relax and get away from it all, but it seems always stressful, and you're always doing a lot of things, and it's never as relaxing as it seems it should be.
And now when you sleep in hotels, I just absolutely can't sleep in hotels. It's the only time that I take melatonin patches.
Okay.
I take them with me to hotels to try to help me sleep. So, so that's at home I can lay on my pillow and I just pass right out and I'm good, and that sort of thing. But man, hotels are just so hard for whatever reason,
You know who's not sleeping? Who's sleeping well now? I would say is Romanisti after the win of the Derby della Capitale.
I would think they are. Yeah,
Roma's red apparently.
Yeah, why not? After winning the Derby and continuing to put some pressure on, it also helped their cause that Bologna failed to win at Frosinone and destroyed my 3-team parlay. I had them for the win. I had Milan over a goal and a half, and I had Aston Villa over a goal and a half. And I was getting plus 317 for all of that to hit. And Bologna couldn't score one freaking goal against Frosinone, against the worst defense in Serie A. So I thought that was an easy win. And I should have listened to Lisi. Lisi said it was going to be a draw. So, he offers some pretty good information. We're going to give a plug to that. The weekly whip around with Nono, check that out, because he offers some pretty good tips. So, and I should have listened. I said no, Bologna's going to win. I'm going to go with that. So, but anyway, how are you?
I'm good. Yeah, thanks again to Sean McIntosh for helping me hold down the fort. Sean, of course, the Lazio World, also a chief content officer for, or chief fan officer for Charlotte FC here at MLS. So, always good to have him back on and talk a little Lazio, deep dive in Lazio. We haven't done it yet. And even Amazing Vincent was enjoying the chat, I think. Maybe especially because he knew what was coming with the victory on the Derby. But, it was good times, man. It was good times.
What are you talking about, Eduardo Pazza? You had like three Pazza Inter performances all season long. My God, Pazza Inter.
As they're pulling away from the league, Pazza Inter.
Pazza Inter is not turning up. They've not turned up all season. Don't give me this. It's unwarranted pity is what it is. I mean, you're 14 points clear and about to win.
No, what it does is shows how good Inter are, because they can play poorly and still find ways to win.
Yep, I agree.
The Pazza Inter of old would not. They would find ways to lose these games, and so they figured it out. So Pazza Serie A is really what it is.
He's coming on here. He's an Inter supporter, 14 points clear, and coming on into the chat and trying to seek pity from us. Come on.
It's a whole reverse derby jinx, right? It's around the corner, a couple weeks away. He's like, oh, hey, you know what? Like, what was us, Inter? You know, we're gonna lose and reverse that jinx. I know how it is. Eduardo, we're on to you, man.
I mean, the only motivation for me as a Milan supporter for this derby is to just avoid Inter clinching the Scudetto over them on that, in the derby. So that's pretty much my only vested interest in it here as a Milan fan. It's like second is locked up, Champions League is locked up. They're not gonna run down Inter for the title. 14 back with 7 to play, just not gonna happen.
So I got asked an interesting question last night, right? I was with the Calcio guys last night, talking Calcio, of course.
And yeah.
They asked me an interesting question, which I'm going to throw back at you now. They asked me, would I rather beat Inter this year in the derby or win against Roma in the Europa League conference finals and go to the semifinals? What would you prefer?
I'd rather win against Roma. I mean, this is a derby that the only interest is, like I said, the only interest is trying to prolong Inter clinching the title for another week and not doing it officially at Milan's expense.
Yeah.
You know, it's not, you know, advancing in the Europa League. Winning the Europa League is a path. Well, I guess the way they're going to frame the league stage is going to be different. It's not going to be the traditional groups, and they're not going to be, you know, the Europa League was a seeded team.
Yeah.
You know, with the Champions League holders and then the next best six league champions when they did the draw. I don't know how the league format works out unless they're going to frame it where, you know, maybe during the league phase of it, as a Europa League champion, you're going to probably see some more favorable opponents.
That'd be
something like that, you know, or a more favorable path to getting to the knockouts, depending on things. So it'll be interesting. You know, it's, you know, that's the one thing the Inter fans are salivating over right now is continue to win, get to the derby and win the derby, clinch the title in front of the city rivals. So, so we'll see what happens with that. But yeah, we've been talking about them being champions alike for quite some time. So, I also, before we jump into it, Richard, and we'll get into the games here, I didn't get my chance to once again thank everybody involved for making 300 a success. Yeah. A couple of weeks ago, I did 300 and just, you know, fucked off for vacation. So
that's how it works. I learned from you.
Yep. I want to express my gratitude to everybody again. We were very, you know, Richard put a clip. We're, you know, on YouTube, I think the 3 minutes or so we spent trying to name everybody who has been on this podcast and thank them, you know, for being a part of it through the years. And, you know, thank everybody for me. We had a lot of fun. We had laughs. We talked, we fit in a little couch show somehow in that 2.5 hours we were on. But we want to thank everybody, all of the guests that were on and all the folks that were in the chat, you know, for being a part of that. So it was great. You know, so, but now we're on 302. We've got to wrap up match week 31. So I will go ahead and get us started with that, Richard. It began with a Friday game, a relegation six-pointer between Sassuolo and Salernitana. It ended up in a 2-2 draw. It was a Armand Lorienté on the counterattack in the 37th minute. 7 minutes later, Salernitana getting pressed off the ball in their own third, leading to a Nedim Bayrami goal. Antonio Candreva getting a penalty in the 52nd, pulling one back for Salernitana. And then at the death, Giulio Maggiore scoring to get Salernitana a precious point. This is clearly 2 points dropped for Sassuolo. Would have put him tied with Verona for 27 points after everything wrapped up for the weekend. So a killer there. The festivities began on Saturday with Milan thrashing Lecce 3-0. I think one thing that Milan fans had been hoping for the longest time was Pulisic playing in the 10 role, flanked by Leao and Chiesa. They got their wish in this game, and it looked great. A 3-0 win here. Pulisic, a left-footed curler, a goal of the week candidate in the 6th minute to start things off. Giroud with a glancing header on a corner at minute 20. Leao with a counter-attacking finish at minute 57. You know, they won 3-0. They probably could have won by six. They could have probably won 6 or 7-0. But nonetheless, Milan walking away with the win and the 3 points. Red card for Lecce in this game. Just before halftime, Nikola Krstović getting sent off in the 45th minute for a violent foul. Derby della Capitale goes to Roma. Rome is red, as Vincent said in the chat. 1-0. A Gianluca Mancini header in the 42nd minute, crossed in by Paulo Dybala. And then from there, they held on for the win. Empoli and Torino. Empoli get a big boost in their survival hopes with a 3-2 win over Torino. Nicolò Cambiaghi with a belter. That's a goal of the week candidate. This was 6 minutes in. Duván Zapata will get his first of two headers at 60 minutes. But first, Matteo Cancellieri scoring in the 74th. Zapata getting that 91st minute header to make it 2-2. But just at the death of the game, Mbaye Niang, that man, getting his first open play goal for Empoli. He has scored a few penalties. And hell must have been a little bit cold on Saturday, Richard, because Empoli scored three goals in a game. You know, something that we haven't been able to say, I don't think, at all this season about them.
Probably.
So, if you woke up early to see Frosinone and Bologna, you were disappointed. 0-0 draw there. Bologna, I guess if you like good goalkeeping, you were probably happy with the performances. Skorupski made some big saves against Frosinone. Tarati made some big saves. Skorupski made some big saves for Bologna, Tarati for Frosinone. See, this is what happens when you go on vacation. You forget who everybody plays for. So if you were left disappointed there, your faith in good Calcio was quickly repaid if you watch Monza Napoli, because I think there's four goals in here that are good enough to be goal of the week. A 4-2 win that began with Milan Jurić off an assist from Alessio Tabin. In the 55th minute, and this is where the fun began, Victor Osimhen with pretty much jumping to the stratosphere to head home a goal and make it 1-1. Was his junk resting on the defender's head when he struck the ball when he headed it in?
Might as well have been, man.
I mean,
got poster size there.
That's
sure.
that's how high he got. Insane. So. But then to Vincent's point, yes, Matteo Politano's goal, fantastic. A volley goal of the week candidate there. And then Piotr Zielinski entering in on the fun for goals of the week in the 61st minute. He hits a belter. And then a minute later, Andrea Colpani, we say good things about somebody. We do something on Serie A sit down about a player. We spotlight a player, and look what he does for us. Brilliant curler. That's a goal of the week candidate. 3-2, but then ultimately, just a few minutes later, Giacomo Raspadori getting a tap in. They shouldn't have counted it just because it was a tap in. When you look at the quality of their goals.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, Napoli get the win and the 3 points. Cagliari and Atalanta. Cagliari trying to survive. It started with Gianluca Scamacca in the 13th minute. But Cagliari doing what they have done a lot this season, coming from behind to get points. And it was Tommaso Augello in the 42nd minute, played in by Shmuradov. And then finally in the 88th minute, Nicolas Viola, not a guy that you're looking for in the air, but he gets one on his head and finishes. And Cagliari with a big win for their survival hopes, as they're now four clear of the drop. And Atalanta, a crushing loss in their bid to try to gain a Champions League place, because there may be five. They're sitting in sixth, five back of Roma. Verona and Genoa went at it. And it was Bonazzoli on the counterattack in the 8th minute to give Verona the lead. Just before halftime, Caleb Ekuban scores from sea level to make it 1-1. And then it was Albert Gudmundsson in the 58th minute to give Genoa the win and keeping Verona mired in the relegation battle. Speaking of, so you have 25% possession, you're outshot 13-7, and you win 1-0. You must be Juventus under Massimiliano Allegri. Yep. Federico Gatti tap in, gets it done there, despite everything Fiorentina did. And then, that overrated Inter team that Eduardo's talking about.
Inter.
Played like shit. They got back to being Pazza. Inter really reared its ugly head. The Samardzic goal that Inter, I don't want to say that Inter spotted on that goal because they wanted a challenge, but that could be true. Dumfries stopped going for it because he thought maybe Sommer would come out to get it. Sommer just stayed on his line. Was it Sommer in goal?
Yep.
And the ball just trickles into the back to the back side of the net. And, 1-0 there, but Inter would get a penalty 10 minutes into the second half that Hakan Çalhanoğlu would convert. And then in the 95th minute at the death, Davide Fratesi making it 2-1. Where do you want to start?
Wow. Interesting. It just had to be Fratesi who scored the goal. Yeah, Fratesi was scoring those clutch goals this year. Let's start from the top. So, Sassuolo Salernitana, you mentioned it. Sassuolo had a 2-0 lead in the first half. A team of this talent should be able to hold on to that lead. Yes, I know this year they haven't been that good. But, man, you letting Salernitana come back into the game, breathe life. Yeah, they're all but done for the season, right?
Yeah.
In terms of points and where they're going to be next year. But Sassuolo, they needed this game to have any chance of survival. This is a relegation six-pointer, and you blow three huge points. This is like you said, 2 points lost for sure, not a draw. This is 2 points lost for them. Absolutely, Salernitana can look at this as a draw or a win or whatever in their book. But, man, how disappointing is that going to be for Sassuolo? You know, you're trying your best to stay in the league, and you pull one of these out. It's heartbreaking. Moving over to Milan Lecce. Again, you mentioned the three attacking midfielders behind Giroud. They played really well together. Question is, and I talked about this on the couch, you guys, last night. You know, usually when you think of the 10 role, you think Liao is the guy to do it. We've seen him play better on the left-hand side, despite where he wants to go. And I thought, you know, Pulisic did a marvelous job, you know, really going where he had to, linking up very well with Chukwueze, with the midfielders behind him, as well as Leao and Giroud. And so I thought a really good performance by him. It shows that he is so versatile that he can play in that 10 role. And Chukwueze coming on late in the season as it is just another threat for them on the attacking side of the ball, which they need. You know, the goal scoring has been so spread out for the Rossoneri this year, but when you have Pulisic and Leao running on, you know, almost full steam, that's scary if you're a defense going up against them. And, you know, going up 2-0 against Lecce, we've seen this song and dance before, and Lecce have come back in the first time these two teams played this year. Didn't happen. Obviously, the red card probably played a role into that. I know many Lecce fans were screaming that wasn't a red card. It's like, it was a red card. It was a dangerous play. Mm-hmm. However, I think there's been inconsistencies in the league where we saw not too long ago where a foot to the face was a yellow card. I think it was Salamakers who got that, and that should have been a red as well. So there's very much inconsistencies in the refereeing, so I get that part, but that's a red card for me all day. It's a soft red, but it's a red nonetheless.
Yeah, dangerous play. It's strict interpretation of the law by the officials, and that's what led to the red. So
yeah. So onto the derby. The derby wasn't necessarily one of the worldly derbies that we've seen from between these two teams. However, it was good. I think Roma did what they had to do. It was a huge win for them because that's the first time they've won against Lazio in maybe what, 6-7 games, something like that. So I forget what it is, and I'm sure maybe mm-hmm. St. Vincent knows because he's so happy about it. But you know, Mancini again coming up big. The team has, it's just such an important victory for them. You know, De Rossi, he's trying to get these guys to buy in, which they obviously have. And what better way to do it than, you know, turning Rome red? I thought they did enough to limit what Lazio could do. Lazio obviously were getting frustrated in the game. We saw at the end of the game a little bit of fireworks. Guendouzi, did he punch Paredes? Did he not? I didn't think there was much into it. I think Paredes dove, but you know, I'm sure you know many Romanisti are saying otherwise. That's what you want to see at the end of the game. Fireworks between two teams who hate each other. But for the most part, the game was okay. It was okay. Like I said, Rome did what they had to do. I don't think they were really bothered by Lazio too much. I think the game plan worked wonderful for De Rossi. Clearly outmanaged Tudor in this game. And so kudos to Roma. I mean, just a great performance. And that gives them even more confidence heading into the Europa League quarterfinals against Milan. So, I mean, what were your thoughts on the derby?
I thought it was maybe economical comes to mind when it comes to the performance for Roma, which that's not always a bad thing. You know, it's just finding a way to win. I'm trying to figure out Roma here because they've been on this amazing run under Daniele De Rossi. Their only loss was, you know, a glorified throwaway game, the second leg against Brighton, a 1-0 defeat. You know, but the last four games, they've only scored 2 goals in all competitions. They've only conceded 2 goals in that time frame as well. Is it just the 1 goal to Brighton? I have to, you know, let me just make sure I'm saying the right thing here. Let's see. So 1-0. Yeah, just the 1 goal. Okay, so they've got in their last four in all comps, you throw in that Brighton game, that's the one goal they conceded. And yeah, they've got three straight clean sheets, but they've only scored twice here in these last three Serie A games. Is it, should Roma fans be concerned about the lack of goals all of a sudden? Or is it, are we just, because here's the thing. I mean, I get to this time of the season and what have I been saying? Because I don't want to sound like a hypocrite here. But it's just like, just find ways to get 3 points, do your business and do your business and qualify for what you need to qualify for. But if Roma is going to, Roma is going to have to outscore Milan if they're going to want to, if they're going to want to beat them in the Europa League quarterfinals.
Yes.
And two goals from them in the last three Serie A games doesn't inspire a lot of confidence, especially when you boast players like Lukaku, Dybala, Pellegrini, and El Shaarawy. Should there be concern for Roma fans right now with the lack of goals over the last few games?
I don't think so. I mean, we've seen so far, in at least the beginning stages of De Rossi's reign, how that the attacking is so much better. It's so much more improved under them. Pellegrini's become a different beast under De Rossi, as well as the rest of the team. I mean, El Shaarawy stepped it up. Lukaku scoring goals. And obviously, Mancini, I think, has also improved in his game. He's more Matarazzi-like. You know, that's a compliment, considering who Mancini is. But no, I think it's not a big deal. I think for them, their main focus is, you know, they need to shore up their defense. They can't be in shootouts. And I think getting some practice on the defensive side, you know, obviously they've had Mourinho under their belt, so they have the idea how to play it. But, you know, in a knockout game against like Brighton, just seal it up. You don't have to go for goals. Just seal it up. Don't allow them to come back. And they did that. And then they just continued that same mentality in the next two games, not really allowing too many goals, especially against the Derby, which is huge for them, because we see some of those games, you know, get blown out if you're not prepared for that. So I think Roma just doing what they have to do. I think they're mentally trying to prepare for this Milan game, because they're going to have to play very solid defense and outscore Milan, like you said. And I think this new setup under De Rossi, with their new confidence in the attack, I think that they pose a certain danger, not only to Milan, but, you know, to Europe. Europa League, so it's going to be entertaining two legs for sure. And so I think Roma needs to should be fine. I honestly do.
Well, we'll come back and talk about the tie here between Milan and Roma here in a little bit. You know, I think that they've shored some things up defensively, to your point. I think when you take a look at this Lazio team, though, Tammy is back to haunt Milan, huh? Okay.
Yeah, it's good to see him back on the pitch.
Yeah. I'm not, you know, I'm not frightened by Gustav Isaksson, Daichi Kamada, and Achiuwa Immobile, who's clearly not in the form that we're accustomed to, you know, from him over the years. You know, that he's maybe shown his age a little bit. I was actually kind of astonished. I mean, there's always these things that we do. These managers, you know, star players, maybe because we have five substitutions now, you bring them on a little bit later. So Luis Alberto didn't start, you know, so you didn't have the threat of Luis Alberto pulling strings and maybe putting a little pressure on the midfield. But when I looked at this Lazio lineup, I wasn't this Lazio lineup doesn't scare you, you know. I mean, Felipe Anderson is a wingback instead of playing higher as a winger. You know, trying to go with the back three of Casale, Romagnoli, and Gila Fuentes, which I think did, you know, might have played a part in stymieing Roma a little bit. But they
did
it
worked wonders against Juventus. It worked wonders against Juventus, so I can see why they did that. Not my ideal position for him, for sure, but it worked against Juventus. So.
But they did it at the cost of going forward, of what they could do going forward. You know, and I think that maybe made it a little easier for Roma too. So, you know, jury's out on Roma. I mean, they're getting results, but all of a sudden it's now 1-0, 0-0, where they were scoring, you know, when De Rossi took over, they were scoring 3-4 goals at a time without breaking a sweat. So, so I would probably give the argument that I am a little worried that the goals are lacking, you know, but, We'll see. I mean, these two legs here over the Europa League will tell the tale if Roma have really, you know, kind of turned the corner from what they were. They had the defeat. They lost to Inter. That was their other defeat under De Rossi. Yeah. You know, everybody
loses to Inter.
Everybody loses to Inter, so it's fine. Not at Atletico Madrid.
And I think also Lazio, the way it came out of this game, right? Because they had two games prior to this against Juventus, and they came out in the first game where they won in a 3-4-2-1. They were successful. They played attacking against Juventus, put them on their back heels, and they won the game. Then they went and they switched to a 4-3-3 in the next game, the Coppa Italia, and got slaughtered by Juventus. And so I think that was playing into the mind of Tudor in this one, and went back to that 3-4-2-1. However, they weren't as attacking as they should have been in this game. And you know, I do like Isaksson, but you know, Kamada, he's not going to do anything in this role. I think Roma just did enough to counterbalance everything that Lazio threw at them, and it really weren't bothered, honestly. And clearly frustrated Lazio and Roma were able to just cruise by and a victory in this. And so, you know, kudos to De Rossi to spotting the weaknesses there in Lazio's 3-4-2-1 and taking care of business.
Yep. I think we're seeing the full-on hard ceiling of both Atalanta and Fiorentina. What do you think?
Yeah. I mean, both of these clubs, they have glimpses of being extremely fun to watch, goal scoring, just doing whatever the hell they want to do. And then they have games like we saw this, you know, the last couple of weeks, really. Atalanta, you know, had a chance to really make it a dogfight for the, well, top five, but, you know, even top four, you know, the old top four. And, yeah, they're playing a Cagliari team that's difficult to play because they're fighting relegation. Also, Cagliari is also always a difficult place to play. We've talked about this for years. But man, you have opportunity, and they just didn't look at it at all. It looked like they weren't ready for the game. It's like they had been playing every 3 days or something, and it wasn't the case. And Cagliari, you know, to their credit, took their chances well, made it difficult for Atalanta. They didn't have the freedom that they normally do. Adama Lookman at times could create some stuff, and most of the times he was shut down. It just wasn't the opportunities that Atalanta's used to, you know, the last couple of months or whatever, and it shows, like you said. It's just like they just don't have that extra gear, and that's where I think Roma and Juventus and the rest of the top four, top five, Bologna too, they have that, minus Bologna this weekend. So yeah, just Atalanta showed the ceiling, and same thing with Fiorentina.
Was not enough. You think Atalanta might have overlooked Cagliari because of Liverpool coming up?
I do. Okay. They were like, oh, that's a shoe-in victory. And you can't discount a team that's fighting for their lives in Serie A. That's always been the most difficult fixtures for every top-end team historically, especially, you know, when they have a legitimate chance of getting out of the bottom three. And Cagliari, for sure, they've shown since, you know, the last, I don't know, 2 months or so that they're willing to fight with everybody. They're not going to make it easy. And they scratch and claw and try to get results. They usually score late goals, and we saw Viola again in this one getting the goal there. So, yeah, it's Atalanta overlooking it. Now, hopefully they can shake that off and rebound and go against Liverpool, which we'll get into. But poor loss for them, and, you know, good for Cagliari and good for George. You know, they get to maybe fight another day into next season. We'll see.
Well, to Vincent's point, Fiorentina is alive for two finals.
Yeah.
The Conference League and Coppa Italia. So,
yeah,
you know, maybe the focus is on that and just, all right, they're wallowing in league form. There's really going to be difficult to try to catch. And if they're going to stay in any kind of, you know, on the continent, they're going to have to win either the Coppa or the Conference League. So maybe they're pinning their hopes on that too. So
maybe their goal was don't get slaughtered by one of our worst rivals. Keep mm-hmm. it close and give us a chance to equalize late in the game. Maybe that was their MO, but I don't know. But I just didn't think their stars played to the level. I mean, I think Allegri Ball did enough to, yeah, they had Fiorentina had all the possession in the world, but, you know, what were they really creating? Chesney made a fantastic save. That's a, you know, play of the week candidate on Nico Gonzalez. But yeah, they're gonna rue those, you know, goals that they miss, and hopefully Fiorentina can shake that off, like just like Atalanta, and focus on Europe and the European front, and, well, also the finals for Coppa Italia as well for Fiorentina, and see what they can get there. So,
yep. We got Bologna going to Frosinone and drawing. We've got, you know, so that probably was the surprise of the weekend. We have Sassuolo and Salernitana drawing 2-2. We have Empoli beating Torino 3-2. And then we have, what's the other one I want to grab?
Genoa Hellas
2-1. Okay. I guess, I mean, it probably isn't surprising that Genoa was able to come back and beat Hellas Verona. So let's ask Salernitana coming back to draw Sassuolo or Empoli beating Torino at the death. Which one surprised you more?
Empoli.
Same.
I think Sassuolo has been fun bad and more bad this year. So I kind of expected that. Torino is a team that's, you know, solidified in 10th position, you know, or at least mid-table. And Empoli are a team who struggled mightily this year. They're a team that's in a relegation battle. They've not been able to score any goals. All of a sudden they go and put three up against Torino, who's, you know, been a good defensive team. Mbaye Niang and Cambiaghi and company, they found a way to pull a rabbit out of their hat. However, if you're Torino, you can't give up three goals to Empoli. You just cannot do that. And now it doesn't affect them. They're probably on vacation mode. They're not going to Europe.
Yeah, they're
not going to get relegated, so they've hit the beach.
They're always the first team to hit the beach every season. They get to a point level. They're mid-table. Yeah, this is fine.
Yeah.
We're not going to kick on any further, so.
And maybe I shouldn't be shocked as a result, you know, not thinking about it, just, you know, six games to go or seven games to go. So, but I just shocking to see Empoli score three goals. Even if a team is on, you know, vacation mode, beach mode, they found a way. They scored goals. They play tough. Cambiaghi is a marvelous player who's not going to be there much longer. I think he's been picked up by one of the big teams. And, you know, Niang is just nice to see for us, a guy who had this talent, could never do anything with it, and at least now he's getting like a second run in Serie A, or third run, whatever you want to call it. And he's making the most of his time. Like, most of his time, goals have been penalties, but, you know, he got an open play, a nice open play goal. It's a game winner at stoppage time, and Empoli just marching on through, and Torino with the pina coladas, I guess, or the grappa or whatever the hell on the beach they're drinking.
Yeah. Do you still feel the same about the relegation fight? Now, I said that Sassuolo get out at the expense of Empoli. I don't know if my opinion... I still think Sassuolo get out, but I would think it's at the expense of Hellas Verona. It's hard to, you know, but it's going to be one of those two teams, Verona or Empoli. I think that Udinese are going to scrape enough wins. Lecce look like they ought to survive at this point. I don't think Cagliari's safe right now. I think maybe three more points from them, and they can probably breathe a sigh of relief.
Yeah.
Let me come to Vincent's comment about the Bologna chance because I saw it. I'll tell you why that happened. Ndoye, for whatever reason, he's in. I mean, it's just the natural instinct. You want to finish the chance, and the ball's bouncing. But if you have some presence of mind there, you've got Remo Forlà right next to you who could tap the ball in. He's standing up. You're on the ground trying to wrap your foot around the ball, and the ball is on the way. It's on the way up from hitting the ground.
Yeah.
So more often than not, that by the time you make contact, you're going to be under the ball. The ball's going to go over the goal. Now, this is all hindsight 2020 talk I'm giving you here. But
yeah.
If you take a peek over, or Freuler, I think Freuler was trying to call him off the ball because he was in a standing position and ready to just tap the ball in until Ndoye put his foot on the ball. That's how Bologna missed that chance.
I originally thought Freuler's the one to put it over the bar. I'm like, what the hell are you doing? And you watch replay, and it was Ndoye on the ground.
Yeah.
And like, oh, okay, that makes more sense. You know, why are you going for it when Freuler's there? You know, egg on his face, and Bologna probably should have won that game, but... that was certainly not Freuler's fault in that position.
That's always going to go over the bar when that happens. So it's just the nature of it.
Did you see before we continue on in this relegation fight, Mancini got fined €5,000 for, you know, putting the flag in celebration of the Derby win. A lot of talk about that, but I saw again, as we've seen so often, where racist chants have come in again from the ultras from Lazio, and haven't heard much about that in terms of fines or penalties or anything like that. Are you surprised that the fine for Mancini happened in a game like that? I didn't find it offensive. I can see why they would do that, but Rome was a home team in that one, weren't they?
Yeah, I don't understand why you got to fine Mancini for that. No. So, unless they've got some sort of policy about
maybe. It's like the no-shirt rule, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Did he grab a flag from one of the supporters?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
There might be something written about, you know, not getting paraphernalia, for lack of a better word, you know, from the fans and bringing it onto the pitch. You know, maybe because, I'm reaching. I don't know. There might be a rule. There might be a rule to that, and City is trying to follow the rule to the exact letter of it. And I don't know. But it was, you know, the fact that they find this and not the Lazio fans who are racially abusing. Yeah, it did. Well,
yep.
I'm not shocked that they don't do anything about racism, Vincent.
FIGC.
Yeah. So, you know.
But back to the relegation fight. You know, for me, you know, it's funny. I think Sassuolo need to go down. I think it's time to refresh for them. Frosinone, you would think, are the ideal candidate to go down. However, they've shown glimpses, and they did this against Bologna. They also showed us in several games this year where they do enough offensive. They had not a bad attack, actually. The defense was really bad. But their attack, they got some nice pieces there. At times, they can put some pressure on the defense. They gave Juve a hell of a time twice this year already, amongst other teams. And so they're a funny team. Hellas has played so well down the stretch here, and yet they're only, what, 1 point out of relegation right now? And so it's like, that's got to be frustrating if you're Hellas Verona.
Yeah.
Empoli as well. I mean, I think it's going to come down to, I think Udinese has enough. I think it's going to come down between Empoli, Verona, and Frosinone for the last spot. And man, if I'm betting, man, I don't know. That's a tough call. I mean, I just want to go against EDF at this point. But for me, if I had to bet, I would say Empoli go down. I don't know.
Well, this is where we can have some fun with it. Let's just evaluate everybody's run-ins. Yeah. I'm going to throw Sassuolo into this mix because I still think they're
alive. They got talent. There. Yeah, yeah.
Yep. So I'm going to start with Empoli.
All right.
Okay, so this is their run-in, last seven games. Empoli are 16th on 28 points. They are two clear of safety. They're at Lecce this Saturday. They host Napoli. They're at Atalanta. They host Frosinone. They're at Lazio. They're at Udinese. And then they finish hosting Roma. Man, not great.
Maybe 6 points out of that? Maybe 6 points?
I can see him beating Frosinone. That's going to be a huge match. That's a six-pointer. That's
draws against Lecce, draws against Udinese. You know, yeah.
You think they'll draw at the Friuli? I think Udinese win that.
They could. They very well could.
You know, I don't know where the wins are. I mean, the only win I see here Frosinone. Might be Frosinone.
Yeah, I see draws in their eyes, the other ones.
Yeah. Okay, so let's go to Hellas Verona. At Atalanta, hosting Udinese. At Lazio, hosting Fiorentina, hosting Torino. At Salernitana, hosting Inter. Salernitana might be the only win there.
Yeah, Torino. Okay. Torino could be a draw there. Maybe a win if they, you know, if they're still in vacation mode, which they could be. Maybe a draw against Lazio, depending on, you know, how that's going. But yeah, I don't see much. That's a hard slate for them.
Yep. All right, Frosinone at Napoli, at Torino, hosting Salernitana, at Empoli, hosting Inter, at Monza, hosting Udinese. It's not terrible.
No.
The Inter game is a loss, probably.
Yeah.
You know, we'll see where Monza is at their stage of the season, and Udinese might already be survived by match week 38. So it could be in line for Frosinone to get out.
Yeah.
I think their run-in is better than Empoli's. I think it's a little better than Hellas Verona's. Okay, so Frosinone currently sit 18th around 28 points. And then we finally go to Sassuolo, hosting Milan, hosting Lecce. Let's just go here. at Fiorentina, hosting Inter, at Genoa, hosting Cagliari, at Sassuolo.
At Sassuolo.
Or not at Sassuolo. At Lazio.
Maybe 4 points at best?
Yep. So
they're down.
What we're probably learning is that the, you know, based on the run-ins, the bottom three we got now might be the team that might end up being the bottom three at the end of the season.
Yeah, I mean, I think maybe you flip-flop Verona and Frosinone, but those are the four there that are in the – I think Empoli might have enough to get out.
Yep.
Based on the run-in. But, we, you know, we, when teams start going vacation mode, the dynamics change very quickly. Obviously, Torino's already there, but, you know, we'll see some of these other teams like Monza, Genoa, once they clinch safety, you know, Cagliari, if they get safety as well. Fiorentina will eventually be – I don't know if they will be or not, because they're still on so many different fronts, but Lazio certainly could be, you know. We'll see. We'll see, but it's going to be interesting down the stretch. It's going to be fire.
I expect Sassuolo to play a rotated Milan squad this weekend. Milan are going to have that first leg against Roma, see where they're at, and they're going to rest some guys for the second leg. They're going to get Jovic. They're going to get Okafor and players like that, you know, which still is enough firepower for Milan. You know, from a squad standpoint, to beat a team like Sassuolo, but it won't be, it may not be as daunting. So there's that for you. I mean, it's all going to be interesting. Empoli Frosinone May 4th is huge. Yeah. You know, in helping to determine all of this too. So yeah. So those are the four. I mean, you tell us, everybody, after you heard that, who has the toughest run in. It might be Sassuolo. It might also be Empoli. But a lot of it's also going to depend on what these big teams do, you know, with where they're at in the season and how motivated they're going to be to play these games. So it'll be interesting for sure.
Yeah, let us know in the comments who's your top three digs getting relegated or bottom three getting relegated this season. Put them in the comments. And if you're listening on the podcast, head over to YouTube and put in the comments as well there. So we want to see your comments there. So
yeah,
we think Salernitana the bottom three now are probably.
Yeah, and obviously Salernitana is down. Yeah. You know, and then it's just a matter of which two teams go with them. I mean, is it the two that sit there now?
Though, are you willing to bet a Salernitana jersey for you if they survive, you buy a jersey? I did with Crotone many years ago.
Okay. Only because they're not going to survive. So okay. Money I won't.
I was that confident too.
Oh man, this is a different situation. Crotone was in a better spot than
they were on 10 points. They were on 10 points when I made that bet.
You also had, I think you also had about, there's also about 13 games to go or something like that when you made that. Yeah, this is seven games to go. I'll take that knowing I'm not going to get a Salernitana shirt. So
okay. A Fazio jersey. No, I'm kidding.
Yep. No, I don't think I do. I don't know if I would, you know, I'd want to get a good player.
Actually, could you get a Choa as an American? I have to go, what's his name? Kandreva.
I'd do Kandreva. I would go for Kandreva. Why not? Yeah. So. Goals of the week?
Goals of the week. All right. Let's start with some honorable mentions for me. Mkhitaryan's tackle on Toven in that game, I thought it was a brilliant tackle by him. Came from behind and got it there. I thought Chesney's top corner save on Nico Gonzalez late in the game was a marvelous play by Chesney. Cancellieri's goal, also honorable mention for me. But and also Colpani. Didn't make my top five because I didn't want to pick that many goals from one game. Top five is as so. Sassuolo's counterattack with Oriente getting the goal there. I really like the counterattack goal there. Pulisic from Chiesa. I thought Chiesa did really well to beat the defenders, get it over to Pulisic, who made a great move and great shot. Number three for me, Cambiaghi's goal for Empoli. What a belter, like you said. Really great goal by him. Number two from the same game, Politano from downtown. What a shot. What a quick reaction, set it up and put it in the goal. But Zielinski, you know, it's kind of like redemption for him. He's been on the sidelines for Napoli all season long and comes back and scores a ridiculous goal in their victory there. So Zielinski gets my top spot. How about you?
I am going with Politano for goal of the week on the volley. I'm going to go 1-5.
Okay.
Number two, I'm going with Kolpani's goal. The curler. Zielinski makes it at number three for me. Pulisic comes in at number four. And then I'll go with the Cambiaghi belter at number five.
Okay.
So those were my top five.
Okay.
So All right. Let's move this along. We got to talk about Europe now. I should pull up my Europa League stuff.
There you go.
That would probably help, wouldn't it?
So games are this Thursday. We got Milan hosting Roma at 3 o'clock Eastern time. And Liverpool hosting Atalanta, same time, same bat channel. Earlier, we'll talk about Conference League later. That's an earlier game for them. But yeah, these two games here, two Italian clubs on one side, and then you got Atalanta looking for the Merseyside miracle. So it should be two excellent matches, I think, between these two teams, four teams, I should say.
Oh, for sure. Let's start with Liverpool Atalanta, okay? You know, Liverpool are on a mission to win everything in sight for Jurgen Klopp before he rides off into the sunset. They coughed up in a pretty embarrassing fashion at Old Trafford, a 2-2 draw with Man United. You know, a game that they otherwise had under control. I don't like playing an angry Jurgen Klopp coach team, you know, coming
at
off
home,
the game
at home
at Anfield, you know, with that atmosphere and with all of that other stuff. I think this is going to be really difficult for Atalanta to get anything. I'm going to give them a goal, but I think Liverpool are going to win the first leg 3-1. Wow. I just don't think Atalanta can just – I don't think that they can – first of all, what do Liverpool like to do? They love to press.
Yeah.
I don't think Atalanta's back three are very good at keeping the ball and playing out of the back. Okay? I think that's a huge advantage for Liverpool. Yeah. I think that's one they're going to definitely take advantage of there. They try to win the ball back immediately where it's lost. You know, where Atalanta thrives is, you know, at times where teams try to respect them. When the ball is lost, they start to drop off and they give room for Atalanta to play, and then they can involve their wing backs, play with width, get the ball in, use the attacking players. Liverpool's not going to do that. If they lose it in a certain area of the pitch, they're going to jump right on and try to win it back right there. And I don't think, especially with the back three for Atalanta, I think they struggle to play. And I think that that's a huge advantage for Liverpool. I think a goal could come off of just pressing. But I think Liverpool win this game 3-1 because the one thing that I think Atalanta might have going for them, you know, if they can get some width, if they can get some width, you can get at the fullbacks, you know, for Liverpool. So if the wingbacks can get forward, there's a chance to create some things there. If you can move Lookman around the way he kind of moved around a little bit against Cagliari, a player like that, that'll help you. And some of those things, you could stretch Liverpool out a little bit, and then you give a little room for a player like Koopmeiners. But overall, I don't see Atalanta producing enough. I see them giving away to pressure. I think Liverpool they take a 3-1 advantage back to Bergamo. How do you see it?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's the remaining four Italian teams, you know, they obviously need to do well to help keep that coefficient where it is and keep Italy in first place so they can get that fifth UCL spot. I don't know. I think I was talking with this maybe, I think, with Gianni three episodes ago, or I don't think maybe it was Sean last week. I don't remember who it was, but I was talking about Atalanta and their chances at really, really surprising people, I think. They're going to have to pull a rabbit out of their hat, pull some magic out in this first game, because if you can get a result at Liverpool, you'll have all the confidence in the world when you go home. Not to say Liverpool aren't dangerous on the road, because they are, but like you mentioned what Liverpool like to do. I think, and I think your point about Atalanta not playing well from the back is absolutely 100% true. They're not going to be able to handle that pressure. However, I think Gasperini needs to find a way. We've seen Atalanta, when they commit to defense, it does come at the expense of their offense, but they are pretty good at stifling the opposition down. Now, it's going to be a massive task to do it against Liverpool at Liverpool. But if they can find a way to be really compact in that middle, and you know, between Coop Miners, De Roon, Emerson, whoever else is playing that midfield, plus the wing backs, they're gonna have to do a number defensively, compact, play on the counterattack, use that width like you said, and be clinical up top. You know, they gotta have Lookman and whoever's starting up top, whether it's Scamacca or Charles Catalade or whomever, they're gonna have to take their chances and be clinical, because you won't get many chances against Liverpool. With that said, I'm just gonna beat the drum for City out teams and say Atalanta pull a shock draw. I would say 1-1. I'm gonna say they're gonna go back to Bergamo, hoping to get a result there and maybe move on. We'll see. Liverpool are gonna be distracted with trying to get that Premier League title. Obviously, they dropped some big points against Man United this weekend, and they gave Arsenal the temporary, you know, first place there. And so, depending, you know how these fixtures always work, Frank. They always put your hardest league opponent against your European, big European game in the same week. It always happens. It's just the structure, the schedules always work out that way. So you'd imagine they're going to play someone that's going to be really daunting for them, and maybe Liverpool will be distracted, and Atalanta will need that kind of chance and that hope and miracle to pull something off like a 1-1 draw. So I'm going to go 1-1 and say they go back to Bergamo with a chance at a miracle.
That is banging the drum, because I think this Liverpool team.
I'm going on a limb.
I think this Liverpool team is as good as the four teams we watched in the Champions League today.
Oh, sure.
And I can't say the same about Atalanta. But I don't think they're pulling off a result. I think Liverpool, like I said, 3-1 to Liverpool. I can't see it with Atalanta. But Gasperini has pulled off some magic in the past, so. Yeah.
Just pretend they're Milan and maybe they'll do well.
Yeah. All right, Milan and Roma, the big one, the one that most, just about all Serie A supporters are going to be paying attention to here on Thursday. We talked about this a little bit. Right now, the way Roma are playing, I don't think they can score with Milan, okay? You know, and where I think that Milan have the advantages in the wide areas, I think that Vincent made the comment about, you know, the combination of Leao and Teo on the left-hand side. But now you're seeing Sammy Chukwueze starting to come into some form. Pulisic played in the 10. He might go back out to the right with Loftus-Cheek being eligible to play. Mm-hmm. You know, so Milan can beat you in other areas of the pitch. You know, Roma, they have Dybala, and if he can get into some spaces, he's going to be very dangerous. He's going to ask some questions. You've got physicality with Lukaku up front, which I think the center backs for Milan are going to have a hard time coping with. I think this is going to be a very compelling game, and I think both teams are going to score. I think that Milan outlast Roma in the first leg and win 2-1. I think they end up kicking themselves because they will have had a couple of other chances to go on and win the game. But I think they take the advantage to the Olimpico.
I think, and I mentioned some of this on the Calcio Guys show last night, so go check out the podcast from last night. But I think this is two very evenly matched teams. I think pretty much everywhere cancels each other out except for that midfield. I think Milan's midfield is a little bit better than Roma's. I don't think Milan needs a win going into the second leg to be confident, but I, as a supporter, would feel much better if they went there as a win. This Roma team is very good. Dybala has shown the last two seasons in Europe he is legit. Lukaku is a menace, always has been for Milan. And, you know, the defense, you know, whether it's Chiara and Gabi or whomever it is back there, it's going to be difficult. The big man is strong. They have played with better attacking prowess. Pellegrini can get into spots where he can shoot from distance and score. This is going to be a difficult game. I don't know. I think Roma's going to come out and play, but I think Milan walk away with a 2-1 victory too. I think they need to, because you go back to Roma a draw or down, and that's a high hill to climb. It's winnable for sure at Roma, but man, that crowd there And the way they've been playing lately under De Rossi, he's shown that in Europe they have the fight, the gumption to get these results. We saw against Brighton what they did in that first leg there, and even the second leg. So don't discount Roma. They also have European experience. They went to two finals in a row in Conference League and Europa League. So they've been there, done that. So is this going to be a super difficult tie? I can see this going to penalties. And if it goes to penalties, that's where I may be worried, because Svilar's already showed in the penalties he can play it. He can stop shots. Magnon's been, you know, okay on the penalties. You know, if he has a weakness, it's probably the penalties, I would say, for him. So, yeah, Milan, for me, needs to win on the first game at home, and I say 2-1 for them, just barely.
Yeah, they're going to want to take an advantage, back to the Olimpico, to Vincent's point. The atmosphere at the Olimpico on a European night is interesting. So, and then finally, the Europa League, Victoria Pilsen and Fiorentina. Fiorentina might be prioritizing, to everybody's point, they might be prioritizing their cups, and this is one of them. They're getting a Victoria Pilsen team that is, I'd say the form has been indifferent. They're winning more than they're losing. They did take a home loss in their league to Slovan Liberec. But aside from that, they're scoring. They're capable of scoring goals, and at home, you know, that's the one blip. They beat Sparta Prague 4-0 recently at home. Sparta Prague had a red card in that game. They over the course of 180 plus, and then minutes and stoppage, they actually went no goals with Servette, and I think they advanced on penalties. And then if you're looking at the rest of this, you know, there's a 3-0 win over at Zilm, you know, just as far as to give you some background. Going to Eastern Europe is always difficult. So that's the other thing that we probably have to take into account. We've always talked about that. That's always a difficult trip. Having said that, you know, the teams that Pilsen are playing right now in their league are not, you know, Fiorentina is better. Okay. The one thing that they'll have going for them, Pilsen's capable of scoring goals. Fiorentina's capable of conceding them. And I think that goals will happen for both teams in this game as well. I'm going to give Fiorentina the 2-1 win away to set themselves up nicely for the Artemio Franchi. They're not going and playing Pilsen off the park. Okay. And Pilsen as a club has some European savvy. They've been in a lot of games, so they're not going to be overly frightened by the prospect of playing Fiorentina. They're going to relish it. It's going to be a difficult atmosphere, but I think in the end, Fiorentina find a way to win this game and take a 2-1 lead back to the Artemio Franchi.
Yeah, I think it's a great shot. I think, you know, all excellent points. Anytime you go to Eastern Europe, in any night, let alone the European night, the crowd's going to be awesome. The Victoria crowd's always been a fun place to watch if you're neutral. Now, Fiorentina fans might not like this, but the team is also pretty decent as well. Both teams, their forms have been up and down in the last, I don't know, 5-10 games. And so I agree with the comments in the chat and you as well. I think Fiorentina, obviously, you're going to be focusing this year on getting the trophy, both in, you know, Conference League and maybe even Coppa Italia as well. But they have a really excellent chance here. It's a winnable game, and I like your shot of a 2-1 win on the road there. I think it's absolutely doable for them. You know, they play their normal game. Victoria Pleasant are probably good for a goal at least, and so you imagine Fiorentina have, you know, enough talent on their team that they can get some goals in there, and I believe in Vincenzo Italiano. I believe he'll have this team ready. He's shown last couple seasons in Europe he can get it done, and so, I expect a win. I expect a win here for Fiorentina.
All right. So you think Milan win, Atalanta draw, Fiorentina win. I think Milan win, Atalanta lose, Fiorentina win. So we'll see. We'll see how it all plays out on Thursday. So and that Fiorentina game is actually 12:45 East. So you get to whet the appetite a little bit before the Milan-Roma game. Or if you want to watch Atalanta go to Liverpool instead, if that's your thing, then then have at it. So you'll get to have a full day of having watching Serie A teams in Europe at your desk at work. But make sure you have that boss button handy. So, all right, moving on now, we have the world's most popular hashtag game. It is time for Who Won Calcio Twitter.
All right, well, let me just get it on the screen then. And there we are, so with Benny Hill in the background. First one comes from Football Tweet, and it's Gennaro Gattuso talking about Pirlo and says, Pirlo has the face of an angel, but he's a real son of a bitch. He always makes jokes. Always. Doesn't stand still. One day I was eating at the training ground and I had the bad idea to forget my phone on the table. Pirlo took it, sent a text to Galliani and says, Dear Galliani, if you give me the salary I want, I'll give you my sister. He called me immediately and I had to explain to him that it was another stupid joke by Pirlo. I've heard these stories before. They're always great. Pirlo and Gattuso together are just fantastic.
Yep. Pirlo was always... you know, imagine being in a dressing room with those kind of personalities. You wouldn't be bored. So, it's Gabe 20. I'm not trying to understand what this is about.
So I think the picture is of, he's trying to figure out who this shit goalkeeper is. And it's actually Tatarasanu.
Oh,
I don't know. I guess, Tatarasanu held, Tottenham to zero goals, I guess.
Oh, did he?
Apparently.
I can't even get the link open. It looks
I got blocked. It must have been a picture from Europe or something that we can't watch, can't show.
Well, whatever, I guess you had to be there entry, this one was it.
All right. So, I'll take your word for it.
Okay. At Bianconeri Zone, quote, I told the guys, let's run toward the opponent's goal and we'll find some solutions. That was a quote from legit quote from Allegri?
Oh, I don't know. It wouldn't be surprising. I know the comments. I was reading some other comments from other places, and people were like, "What the fuck? Like, really? Did he say that? Maybe he's joking. I don't know. Yep. Doesn't matter. It's funny either way."
All right.
Next one is from Matt Santangelo. So the original was Men don't know what commitment is. That comes from Sonny B. And then Matt Santangelo says, roll the tape. And it's the banter era of Milan. Oh, look at this. What is this? The friggin' Niang. Attaccare! Oh, my God. It's a whole video of Milan's banter Twitter.
All right. And then we finish it off with Matt Santangelo again. Samuel Chiquese beginning to beat the CDK 2.0 allegations.
So beautiful. It's so beautiful to watch. 5 nominees here. Tough.
I'm going with Santangelo rolling the tape.
Yep. I'm with you. I mean, we were there through the banter era, so, you know, we understand fully what Santangelo is saying there. So, say we don't know. Attaccare! That's right. Oh, that's good. While you do that, time for my shout-outs. First, I want to give a shout-out to Sean McIntosh last week. Again, from Lazio World and Chief Fan Officer with Charlotte FC and MLS. Coming on, we got to break down and do a deep dive on Lazio. Finally got to do a nice deep dive on Lazio and spent a good almost an hour talking to him about not only Lazio and Tudor and Coppa Italia and how they beat Juventus and all that stuff. So it was a really good conversation with Sean. Got to hear, you know, we were always talking about Lazio and what we see from our perspective, but, you know, hearing it from actually a Lazio fan is really, really nice to hear and really nice to see and what they're you know, some of the things that we don't necessarily pick up on, you know, not watching him, you know, minute by minute, like, you know, Lazio fans, is really great to pick up on from Sean, and he provided excellent insight in there. So thank you again to Sean, and then shout out to the Calcio guys for having me on last night. As I mentioned on the podcast last night, I might be their only in-person guest that they've ever had, which is fantastic to hear. You know, I did go to visit them in Montreal back in 2019. I guess 2019. Yeah. COVID happened right out shortly after there. And then they've been doing stuff through, the audio waves and video since then. So, you know, honor for that. But no, they're awesome. I'm glad to have me on there. And we got to talk a little Calcio, a little Azzurri, Euro 2024. So it was fun. So shout out to Nick, Adriano, and Gianni. Go follow the Calcio guys. And Sean McIntosh all across social media. Both can be found on YouTube there. So make sure you go follow both those groups there, those podcasts. Please do.
Fine people. Absolutely. I endorse them as well. So, no other shout outs for me. Just trying to get back into the swing of things, trying to get back into the swing of the Calcio and the everyday life. So, with that, we will put a bow on this edition of the Serie A Sit Down. We have our own channel on Apple Podcasts and SoundCloud. If you watched this here live on the YouTube channel, want to hear back any of it, you can go there. If you're on the go and you're driving, and we don't want you watching YouTube while you're driving. So Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, we have our own channels there. You can check out Stitcher, Spotify, iHeartRadio. If those are where you go for your podcast, Serie A Sit Down will be there for you. At Serie A Sit Down on X or Twitter, whatever you want to call it these days. Hey. Also on Instagram, hit us up with any comments. On X in particular, Who Won Calcio Twitter. Damn it, we're still calling it Who Won Calcio Twitter. It just sounds better than Who Won Calcio.
That's
X.
Right.
So please, keep those nominations coming. Also, you can check us out on Facebook. If you are watching us on YouTube here for the first time, thank you very much for clicking on and getting stuck in with us. That's a phrase I haven't used in a while. Mm. But before you go, it would help us out if you hit the subscribe button, if you dropped a like, that really helps us out. And then if you click that notification bell, because then you will get a heads up when we are on Serie A, when we are going live on the YouTube channel. It is generally Tuesdays at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So hopefully in the future you will join us live on the YouTube channel, get in the chat like all of these fine young gentlemen did. Thank you all for your comments and for your takes and for your banter as always. You guys always bring it. So thank you all there. And we will do this again same time next week. Richard, how's that sound?
Sounds perfect.
All right. So with that in mind, we're going to sign off for this edition of Serie A Sit Down. For Richard, I'm Frank. And as always, be sure you're telling your paisans about us. Ciao. Mette in mezzo la caccia di Lorenzo e la può passare.